How great and majestic is the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Great and majestic. Majestic is a word that you use for a king. He's an amazing king, isn't he? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, man. Oof. I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit woozy from that worship. I was getting sometimes I get in the presence of God, I'm just kind of like, whoa, feel like I'm floating around. Something about our kind of mortal bodies encountering God's presence. Sometimes we get a little messed up. Sometimes we get a little affected, and that is okay. Amen? Well, church, it's so great to be with y'all this morning. We're the family of God, and we just want to pray this morning that God would speak to us. You know, I always like to think of, you know, when I'm listening to a message or listening to somebody speak, I want to be somebody who is good at gleaning. You know, there's that biblical principle about gleaning a field. You know, when you had a harvest, in the Old Testament, they were instructed to go and harvest the field, but to leave a portion of it on the kind of the edges for people that were poor and kind of widows to be able to glean. And they would actually go and they would harvest that for themselves. And so I always like to think of when I'm ready to receive something from the Lord, I want to be a good gleaner. I want to glean from the Lord. I want to be able to eat that, and I want to be able to sow that as seed into my own life and my own heart. Amen. So as we just enter into this time, I just pray the Holy Spirit would help us to glean. It's not about me, or it's not about this church, or about anything other than the Holy Spirit encountering us. And so we just ask that the Lord would come, and let's just posture our hearts that way as we pray. Can we do that? Amen. Well, Lord, thank you for this day. And we never want to take for granted that you are the living God. That you didn't just create the earth and leave it and say, all right, good luck with everything, guys. I'm out of here. But quite the opposite, that you said, you guys are a big mess and I'm coming down to save you. I'm coming down to rescue you. I'm coming to give you everything that you need. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Jesus, thank you that you said that it was good that you went away from the earth because you were going to send your Spirit to come and dwell inside of us. And so thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as we commit and follow our lives to Jesus Christ, that you come and you actually are Emmanuel, God with us, and you're with us this morning. We pray that you would speak to us through the reading of the word and through the, thinking about these things. And Holy Spirit, come and activate these things into our lives. Lord, we don't want to just be ones who sit in a room listening to some bald guy talk. Lord, we want to hear from you. So speak to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man. I used to have hair, guys. That's true. Y'all, some of you remember when I had hair back in the day. I mean, it wasn't great hair, but at least it was some hair. I believe that when I get to heaven, man, I'm going to be looking like Fabio. Y'all remember Fabio, that guy that had like this, he's like a romance novel, like just had this beautiful hair. That's probably how, you know, you guys would be like, Simon, that hair's looking good. When you see me in glory, I'm going to have a big full head of hair. But anyway, listen. That's all right. Thank you, Marva. See, Marva's always encouraging me. She's like a spiritual mom. She's like, hey, that's all right. Don't you worry about that. You got hair in heaven, okay? Oh, people are funny, aren't we? You know, I've been thinking about, a lot about people. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm curious. Maybe it's because I'm a pastor. But people are fascinating to me. Just love people. I love us. I love this family of God here at Church in the City, Beth Abraham. You know, it's interesting just to think about people in general. God's given us this great gift of people. It's also fascinating to me that people are God's very favorite thing. God created a lot of stuff, right? He created these solar systems, this universe, these planets, water, all these crazy animals, all this stuff. But he said that when he created us, he said, these things, you are very good. We're the only thing in creation that's actually created in God's own image. It's like he took his own likeness and he formed us. He breathed breath into us, and he said, it's very good. He loves us. We're special. Y'all are special. Guys, we're special to God. We're precious. God loves us. Well, one thing about people, myself included, obviously, is that we are imperfect. Somebody's like, amen. Listen, we are imperfect. We are fallible. We're broken. We're messed up. I'm just telling the truth today. As we think about people, you know, a lot of us have fondness towards people. Maybe those are family members or a spouse or kids or whatever. But we deal with people that are just challenging, difficult. Somebody say amen to that. Hey, oh, Lord. Some people can be very challenging, very difficult. But people are broken. You can see that this message is called God Only Uses Imperfect People. You know, I know this isn't really earth-shattering news to us, that people are broken, that people have issues, but I wanted to say kind of from a biblical kind of perspective, from an eternal theological perspective, it's important that we come to grips with our brokenness. It's important to understand our brokenness. Brokenness is all around us. We live in a broken society. We live in a broken world. We live in broken neighborhoods and broken homes. We come from brokenness. We're so familiar with brokenness that it's like we don't even have to think about it. Like when you grow up with something and you're really familiar with it, it's just second nature to you. Our brokenness, our humanity is like second nature to us. It's part of our human existence. Part about being alive. And I don't know if anybody has social media here, Facebook or Instagram or I don't know, you guys use Snapchat. I think, you know, my kids might have Snapchat. I don't think so, but some of these social media platforms, you know, there's something interesting in kind of living in this modern day and age where it's kind of like there's a portrayal of our own lives on social media, right? You get on somebody's, you know, there's these feeds, there's like a news feed, and if you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever platform, you see all these people posting pictures and these selfies of like, ooh, I'm looking good. Ooh, girl, my family is, we're having a great time. You know, everybody's smiling, you know, everybody's having a great time. Everybody posts, oh, you know, all this great stuff. And it's almost kind of like there's a portrayal of this kind of information and like how my life looks. And we put on those things, you know, we don't see a whole lot of posts about, man, my day sucked today. You know, it's like people don't really, I mean, sometimes you'll see that, but the majority of it, people put on that stuff, you know, things to garner likes. Likes and loves, and you hit the like button. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen this movie called The Social Dilemma. Anybody seen this documentary called The Social Dilemma? It's really interesting. It used to be on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's there anymore. But basically, it's kind of talking about some of these creators of social media and some of these higher-ups in Facebook and Instagram. When they were designing this stuff, they were really designing it from a psychological perspective. And they said, basically, you think it's free, but it's not. If it's free and you're not having to pay for it, you are the product yourself. Okay, so it's like this idea that they're making money off of us somehow. They also did these studies on when somebody hits a little like button on your Facebook, it releases a dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical. It's like a pleasure chemical in our brain. And so when we see people liking our stuff, we get these little releases of, oh, feel goods. We get the feel goods. And so you want to post stuff that makes people feel good, so you get more likes. It's this kind of whole system that was created. And it's really interesting how they talk about that. But it basically kind of creates a false narrative about our lives. And I think sometimes we like to present our lives in such a way that makes us look like, hey, we got it going on. We got things figured out. You know, we're good people with good things going on. And it's almost kind of like our brokenness we want to hide somewhere. Because we don't want people to see it. We don't want people to be aware of it. We try to mask it. And so it's really interesting that we serve a God who created us. And from the beginning of this book to the end of this book, it is full of imperfect people. I'm talking about some broken people. Now, sometimes in our minds, we think, you know, as we walk with Jesus, we're Christians, we think about these people in the scriptures and we're like, oh man, if I could just be like Paul, if I could just be like David, if I could just be like, you know, Mary, or I could be like the Samaritan woman, I could be like this person, or it could be like that. I wish I was like that. And we start comparing ourselves. But I just want to say that God has brokenness all throughout these scriptures. I want to read just a little list of this brokenness. This is just a few examples, okay? Adam and Eve, disobedient. Abraham, guy was very, very old. He was weak in a lot of ways. Elijah got to be suicidal. Joseph, abused. Job, went bankrupt, lost everything. He got weak. Moses, he had a speech impediment. Gideon, he was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab, prostitute. Samaritan woman, divorced. Noah got drunk. Jeremiah was too young. Jacob, he was a cheater. David was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was small and money hungry. The disciples fell asleep while they were supposed to be praying. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, it was a Pharisee who actually persecuted Christians before becoming one himself. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of brokenness in scriptures. I mean, you name it, murder, lying, lust, envy, stealing, fear, doubt, you name it, it's in there. It is in there. Yet somehow God comes, he covers us, and he allows us to become vessels for him and for his glory. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing when you think about our brokenness? You think about how we're weak, we're broken, we're imperfect, we're vulnerable. Yet somehow God comes, fills us with his presence. We are broken vessels. What is a vessel? A vessel is something that holds something else. Like we could have, like you could say, this is one of these bowls up here. This is a vessel for communion. So we have our communion cups in these vessels. It holds something. A water bottle is a vessel. The plastic contains the water. And we are broken vessels. We are broken containers. So the question this morning is, why would God use broken people? A couple answers, I believe, for that. Number one being, that's the only kind there is. Listen, the only kind of people are broken people. Contrary to what Facebook or Instagram or whatever news media we listen to, whatever, contrary to any of that, there's only broken people. There's only broken people in this life. Romans 3:23 says, for all, somebody say all, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not even a single righteous one among us. Sorry to let us down. Not a single righteous one. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. In this context, it's really talking about Jews and Gentiles. It's talking about ones who would fulfill, quote unquote, the law, and ones who weren't unfamiliar with the law. Listen, and Paul says, listen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Brokenness. So the first reason is why he uses broken people to do his will is that's all that he has. Again, sometimes for us, we get into this comparison. And there's these kind of cute sayings like comparison is a killer. It's so true though, isn't it? When we start comparing our lives to somebody else, comparing our lives to these people who may have, it seems like they've got it on easy street. Man, it seems like they're able to pay their bills on time. It seems like their family's not a mess. It seems like their kids want to be around them. It seems like, They've got it going on. Listen, when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we start crushing our own spirit. The enemy loves comparison. He loves for us to look at other people and say, I wish I had their life. I wish I had their resources. I wish I was like them. But the reality is, you're looking at a broken person. You're looking at somebody who's just like you, broken. Somebody who needs a savior, just like you. Broken people. So God only uses broken people because that's all there is. And listen, the second reason that God uses broken people, and this is one that I love, it's to glorify and to magnify God. Listen, our brokenness serves to magnify. We sing that word this morning, magnify, make bigger, make more aware, to magnify God's greatness, his forgiveness, his power, his redemption, and his goodness. It magnifies that. Our brokenness actually magnifies God's strength. This is kind of seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it, in some ways? It seems kind of like, well, how can our brokenness, how can our frailty do all that? But listen, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. And starting in verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. Okay, little side note about jars of clay. You know, there was a 90s Christian band called Jars of Clay. I don't know if anybody remembers them. I like them. They were a good band. You remember those guys, Jeff? That's good stuff. But jars of clay in biblical times, listen, jars of clay were common objects. If you go to Israel, you see all these kind of archaeological digs and stuff. There is so much pottery, so much clay. It was so common in those days that it's basically kind of like plates are or cups are to us today. Like some of them can be nice, you know, more decorative, but a lot of them are just common use. Everyday things that you would just use every single day. Common. So what's Paul saying? Paul's saying, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Again, we talked about a vessel. We are vessels. We are vessels, but vessels are created to hold something, aren't they? So the question is, what do we hold? And Paul says here that we have treasure. Someone say treasure. I love those little treasure hunting shows. I love those ones when like they're out there find treasure. You know, they're looking for kind of hidden treasure. There's some like mystery and they're out there looking for treasure. I love those ones. I love it when they find them, you know, like, oh my gosh, they're like people who are digging for mining for gold and stuff. I think that's fascinating. People are looking for something. They're looking for treasure. They want something that's worth amazing amounts. They want something that is valuable. God is saying right here through Paul, I put my treasure into these common vessels. So what is his treasure? Eternal life. God's glory. Salvation. Forgiveness. Newness. My word says that if you are in Christ, you have become a new creation. It's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives in you. Right? So we become this new creation. We have this treasure. This treasure is everlasting life. It is literally God's glory. It's this amazing creator of the universe. And he decides to put his glory, his love, his redemption, his light, his eminence, his being inside these vessels, these jars of clay, you and me, these common things, these broken vessels. Why does he put his glory inside of us? Why does he put us on display like that? Because when he comes inside of us, it's not about us. It's about him through us. In our brokenness, if you look at a pot, and maybe that pot's been cracked a couple times. Anybody here feel like a crack pot sometimes? Sometimes I feel like a crack pot. I'm not going to lie. Listen, I'm as cracked as anybody else. And we have these areas of our lives that feel broken. incomplete. Like if you went to a store and you saw two pots on the shelf and you're like, I'm pot shopping today, not Colorado pot. Let me clarify, but you know, I'm shopping for pottery. So you have to be clear, you know. But you see these two pottery pots on the shelf, and one's got cracks and open spaces in it and all that kind of stuff. And then one is perfectly complete. Which one are you probably going to choose? You're probably going to choose the one that looks better. But somehow God, in all of his wisdom and all of his greatness, chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Somehow God says, you know what? Which pot's for me? That broken pot right there. I like that broken one. Well, Lord, why would you like that broken one? He's like, well, guess which one's going to let more light shine through it? Where can the light get out of this pot? People will see brokenness, but when they look and I come and I fill that broken pot, they're going to see me. They're going to see where I've come and I've redeemed them. That person used to be an alcoholic or used to be a drug addict, and they came to me and they received salvation, and I came and shined. Guess what? Those old drug addicts, those old alcoholics, they are going to be able to see that light through that brokenness. Those places that were broken, those holes or those gaps, God's light comes to shine through those things for his glory and for his name's sake. And there's this beautiful scripture in Revelation that says the testimony of God is the spirit of revelation, or a spirit of prophecy, excuse me. And so it's basically saying, God, what you did for one, you want to do it again through somebody else. That's why, and listen, if you've been through something, if you were on the streets, and you hear somebody who's talking, who's lived on the streets, they know what it's like. It's like they carry a different authority talking about that thing. Right? You talk to somebody who's got set free from alcohol, and they start talking about Jesus can set you free, there's a different level of authority that they speak with. Why is that? That's because they're a broken pot, and now Jesus has come, and he's shining through that broken place. Now listen, you've got a story, I've got a story. God wants to shine his light through your story. God wants to take your area of brokenness, and he wants to come in and fill it, and he wants to shine the light of Jesus to everybody that's around you. Isn't that good news? That is good news. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. It's not from us. When people look at us and they say, listen, there's no way you did this by yourself. And you say, that's the truth. You know that's right. That is absolutely right. I tried everything to rescue myself and I couldn't do it. I tried everything to make myself satisfied, and I couldn't do it. But then when I broke down and I accepted Jesus and I allowed him to come inside of me and live his life through me, now I start shining light. That's not just Simon, that's the Lord. That's just not Catalina, that's the Lord. That's just not Bruce, that's the Lord. That's all of us. Listen, that is the Lord shining his light through us so that people would see and they would say, could God do that for me? Could God take my brokenness? Can God take that area where I was smashed down, but yet I became an overcomer? I became an overcomer, and now God wants to shine through my life. That's prophetic. It says he wants to do the same thing for you. Amen? He put this treasure in jars of clay. Look to your neighbor and say, you're a jar. Now look to the real one with an issue and say, I'm a jar. A jar head. What great news. So we have this treasure, this glory that God's placed inside of us. Here's a question. How do we treat that treasure? How do we treat that treasure inside of us? Listen, if you're a follower, I'm talking about a real deal, born again, follower of Jesus. You want to live your life according to him. If he has come in, he's redeemed you, he's saved you, he's set you free. If that's you, how do you treat that treasure that's inside of you? I remember hearing a pastor one time said it's like the Holy Spirit in the Bible is sometimes referred to like a dove. He said, it's helpful for me to think about like a dove on my shoulder. Think about that Holy Spirit if he was riding around on your shoulder like a bird, like a dove. He said, how would I choose to walk? How would I choose to engage? I don't want that dove to fly away. I want that dove to remain, to rest on me. I want to walk with every single step with that dove in mind. I want to live out my life thinking about that dove. How am I talking to the people around me? How am I expressing the glory of God through my broken life to people so that they could have a redemption story? How am I walking with that dove in mind? How do we treat that treasure that's on us? Listen, we are weak, but he is strong. Sometimes there's so much like good theological depth in some of these kids' songs. Remember, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Man, that'll preach right there. That'll preach. The Bible tells us so. Jesus' life tells us that he loves us. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Listen, you are a little one. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how big you are. You're a little one compared to God. You're a little one. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Listen, if you feel weak today, that's all right. You feel weak because God is your strength. He wants to be our strength. You're going through something, that's okay. You just keep going. Paul says this in verse 8. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we are who are alive are given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Verse 13, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead also will raise us with Jesus and present us to you, or present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. In your brokenness, in your pain, in your pushing, in your smashing, in your crushing, in your persecution, don't give up. Don't stop. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. We're wasting away outwardly. Some of us, again, we've talked about that before, feel like we're wasting away more than others. Certain days you go, you get up and you're like, man, my body is really wasting away today. But listen, that may be true, and it is true, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Inside of us, in our spirits, we're being renewed day by day by day. Come on, amen, that's good news. Because it's not just about this life. Paul says in verse 17, it says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Add up your troubles. Add up your health struggles. Add up your relationship struggles, your financial struggles, your job troubles. Add it all up, and it's light and momentary compared to the glory that we're going to be receiving in Christ Jesus. as we focus our eyes on Him. We're not focused on our brokenness. We're not focused on our weakness, on our imperfections. We're focused on Jesus. Can God use somebody like me? Listen, I got to tell you, I struggled a long time thinking that God could use or even wanted to use somebody like me. My identity was in my performance. And I kept feeling like I wasn't measuring up. I kept struggling with these things. I kept struggling with sin. I kept bouncing into these things. And then, like Paul talks about, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. I knew what that felt like. Has anybody ever felt that way? Listen, sometimes I don't feel like I can get it right. That's okay. This is the great deception that the enemy wants to keep believing. It says it's all about your brokenness and your weakness. But here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. It's all about His strength, His redemption, His power, His glory. And as we accept that, as we live into that, it actually frees us up to be the people that God created us to be. My Bible says it's for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. Do we think that God wants us to live in oppression or depression or anxiety or fear or doubt or lack mindset? No. He wants us to put our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He wants us to know that there's something so much bigger worth living for than just this life. Amen. Paul, in his letter to 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 14, says this: I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, when He's considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. Because I acted in ignorance and unbelief, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Listen, Paul was straight up wanting to kill Christians. If he was here today and you're a believer, he would want you dead. I mean, listen, we don't understand a lot of what actual persecution is right now in America. You know, maybe that time is coming. We'll see. But back in those days, listen, you start proclaiming Jesus, you start preaching the gospel, your life is at risk. And Paul had it coming from Gentiles and Jewish people. Paul was, you know, he was whipped, he was stoned, he had all this kind of stuff going on, and he used to be a bad boy. This guy was trying to kill believers. He was part of persecuting. We know he was at the stoning of Stephen. He was holding the goat. He was like, go for it, throw those rocks, kill that guy. Yet in his brokenness, Jesus came. He knocked him off his high horse and he blinded him so that he could see. He said, I want to show you some things. And through Paul's brokenness, he started shining the light of Jesus. He became full of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't use his brokenness as an excuse. He allowed his brokenness and his weakness to actually reveal Jesus and to magnify God's glory and grace. He said, listen, if he could do this for me, imagine what he can do for you. I was out here trying to kill these people, and now I'm one of them. You talk about brokenness. God wants to shine through. God wants to shine through our lives. Listen, that's why we can never give up on anybody. Never give up on anybody. I don't care what they're going through. I don't care what they say. I don't care where they're at today, because tomorrow, you never know what's going to happen. Amen? Don't ever give up on anybody. God didn't give up on Paul. He didn't give up on us. Amen? He loves us. Listen, our imperfections, our brokenness, our weakness, we need to come to grips with it, but we can't wear it as a badge for an excuse. God doesn't want our brokenness, our weakness to be an excuse. Well, see, God, I'm just a broken person. I can go and do whatever. I can talk out. I can talk crazy. I can go and live the life I want to live. I don't have to live holy. I don't have to do all this. That is not what the good news of the gospel is all about. Because what did he say to the woman caught in adultery in Matthew 8? He said, go and sin no more. He said, go and sin no more. I set you free. Now live in that freedom. Now listen, if somebody wants to continue in a life of debauchery and sin, and basically saying, I want to live my life the way I want to do it, and I want to sprinkle a little bit of Jesus onto it because that sounds good. But you know, he's not going to tell me what to do. He's not going to tell me how to live my life. I don't care what this word says. I will say to you, you are probably not a Christian. You are not a Christ follower. You're asking God to bless your mess. But listen, he's not going to do it because there's only one way to salvation. That's through Jesus Christ, his son. That's coming to the cross. That's abandoning our lives and saying, listen, I can't do this. I got to have Jesus. I got to have a savior. I'm too broken. I'm too messed up. I can't do this. I don't want to just say, God bless the stuff that I'm doing. And in my ignorance and in my pride, I'm going to say, God, you bless me. I need to come before him humbly. I need to come before the righteous and almighty God and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Save me, Lord. Save me, Jesus. Save me from myself. And when we do that, he fills us with his marvelous light. Listen, it's for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. That's what Galatians 5:1 says. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I know in this context of Galatians, you know, it's kind of talking about adherence to the law, like circumcision, different things that were practiced. But listen, this has a lot of applications for us today. If Jesus set us free from that life of sin and from that gross stuff and from all the stuff that we don't really want to be a part of, don't go back to it. Don't go back to it. You can be broken and God can shine through you, but listen, don't go back to that stuff. Scripture says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. Ooh, that's gross. Listen, y'all, I'm not a dog person. I cannot tell you a lie. I'm a cat person. Now listen, some people are judging me right now, but I'm a cat person and it's more biblical. You know, the Lion of Judah, that's a cat. I mean, I'm just trying to be more biblical. You know, see how the scriptures talk about dogs. I'm just playing. It's okay if you like dogs, that's all right. But listen, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. We've all seen that. Dogs can be nasty. That's how it is for us when we go back to that old life. Why would we want to go back there? Is it really that good? No. Is that drink really that good? No. Is that addiction really that good? No. Is that gossip really that juicy? No. Come on, guys, for freedom's sake, Christ set us free. It feels good to be free. God wants us to stay free, amen. Let's have the worship team come on up. And as they're coming up, want to remind us of this. Some of us feel heavy. Some of us, again, feel like our brokenness disqualifies us for use in the kingdom of God. Like we're waiting for us to somehow get everything figured out so God can move in our life, finally touch that neighbor's life, speak to the life of that person that we interact with at our work or school or wherever we're at, that family member. Well, God, I just feel like such a mess. Paul himself felt like a mess. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and this is in the New Living Translation, it says this. Each time he said, this is God talking to Paul, my grace is all you need. We could just pause right there. What do you need? You need God's grace. Paul is talking about, if it's possible, remove this thorn in my flesh. He had this thing that was going on. We're not sure exactly what that was. Could have been physical, could have been spiritual, kind of attack. But he said, God, remove this thing from me. And what does God say to him? He says, Paul, listen, my grace is all you need. In your brokenness, in your imperfection, his grace is what you need. Some translations say his grace is sufficient for us. I like the way that says, my grace is all you need. Well, then what's it say? My power works best in weakness. Does anybody want to move in the power of God? Does anybody want to be used mightily by God to touch the world around you? My power works best in weakness. That doesn't say pride. That doesn't say power. That doesn't say in charisma or good looks or enough money or the right car or the right house. It says my power works best in weakness. We can give God our weakness. It's not like we're hiding nothing from him. He already knows we're pretty weak. He just wants us to surrender it to him and say, Lord, this is all I have. Lord, here you go. This is all I've got. It feels so broken. It feels like such a mess some days, right? It feels like, God, I don't know what you can do with this, but it's all I got. Here's what I got, God. I don't have a lot. I don't have it all figured out. But I've got this. And here's what God says. He says, that's great because you know what? My power works best in weakness. Paul said, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. Not only does his power work best, but he's glad to boast. He's boasting about it. He said, oh, you think you're weak? Ha ha, I am weak. I am weak. I'm boasting about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ can work through me. Listen, it goes very against this modern American thing that says your church has got to be big. Your personality has got to be big. You got to have the right clothes. You got to have the right car. You have to have this whole kind of a thing going on. And then God can use you powerfully. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says right here, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. It looks like this. God, I'm a vessel. I'm a broken vessel, but I am a vessel. I want to be used of you. I want you to fill my life. I want you to take that area of my life that was so broken that you came and saved me, and I want you to touch other people through that same area of my life. To kick the devil in the teeth. To say where he thought he had me, he thought he had me tripped up, he thought he had me counted out, that was it, I was done. Listen, and all of a sudden Jesus came, and now I'm coming with the light of Jesus, and he's shining through my brokenness. It's what he did with Paul, what he wants to do with you. God only uses broken people because that's all there is. Let's all stand. Our brokenness is one of those things that God does want us to come to grips with. But again, he doesn't want it to be an excuse for us. And it shouldn't handicap us either. Our weakness is actually strength when it's surrendered to the Lord. So sometimes for me, it's helpful to think about, I'd like to get these pictures of things in my mind. And if you maybe join me with this in this exercise, let's close our eyes. We're just going to envision like a clay pot. That's ourselves. That's our life. Think about this clay pot and maybe it's got some scuffs. Maybe it's been dropped and pieced back together. Maybe that pottery in there is worn down, feels broken, doesn't feel complete. And imagine that we come before the Lord and he's saying, what do you have to give me? And we look down and we look around and the only thing that we actually have is this little pot, this little jar with all of its imperfections and brokenness. And Jesus looks us in our eyes and he says, give me that. I want that. That's beautiful to me. And imagine us just handing it over to the Lord, and we feel a little bit nervous, because how could this God, this creator, this amazing and matchless king of the universe, how could he want this broken little pot? He says, that's all I'm after right there. Watch what I see, what I can do with that. Lord, as we come before you today, we thank you that you take our brokenness and you make it strength, that you use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that somehow, Lord, that you see our lives and our brokenness in those times where we're imperfect, and gosh, it feels like there's a lot of those. But somehow, God, you say your grace is sufficient for us. Oh. You say you love us. You say that you want us. You say you want to come and you want to fill us with your power and with your presence. And you say that your grace is all we need. You remind us that your power works best in our weakness. So, Lord, we bring to you our weak places. We bring to you our brokenness. We say, come. Shine your light. We thank you for your heart is to love us, to redeem us. And you're not seeing our brokenness as something that keeps us from you. And if anybody feels like your brokenness is keeping you from Jesus, I'm telling you right now, that is a lie from the pit of hell. There is nothing you can do that will keep you from the love of Jesus. Nothing that you have done in the past. No mistake you've made, no words you've said, no action you've taken that will keep you from the love of Jesus and the love that he has for you. It is a relentless love. It's the kind of love that will leave everything else behind and chase you down. This is that hound dog of heaven kind of love, and he is looking for your heart today. He is saying, come and respond to me. I have poured out heaven because I love you. Your brokenness wasn't an issue for me. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I want to be a redeemer for you. And just as we sing this song, I do want to invite, if somebody feels like, man, I feel like I want to respond to the Lord, I'd love somebody to come pray with me. I want to invite you to come forward. You can come forward to this stage, to this altar, and just do business with the Lord. We want to come and we'll bless you and pray with you. But if you want to stand where you're at right now and do business with God and allow him to speak, that's okay too. But let's sing this song. Let's just spend time as we close this morning, just looking and gazing into the eyes of Jesus, who's not holding our stuff against us. We love you, Lord. Something so indescribable about your love. Uncomprehendable. Bigger than we can ever imagine. More full of grace than we can ever comprehend. Lord, all we have is these clay pots, these vessels. But Lord, you love us. You come and you fill us with your glory. As we come to you and we say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need salvation. I can't do this myself. I need you. I recognize that you, Jesus, by your death on the cross and your burial and your resurrection, you were dead. You were crucified for my sins. You took my stuff upon you, and now you're raised to life. And by my faith in you, I can be raised to life too. And eternally, you changed the game for us. And at the same time, Lord, we do get messy. We get dirty from walking around in this world. Even like you washed your disciples' hands and feet because they got
dirty from walking around. We get dirty from walking around. Lord, cleanse us. Wash us afresh. Lord, if any of us need to make something right, help us to make it right. By your Spirit, would you just put on our hearts a heavy burden to make that thing right, to say what we need to say to that person. Lord, if any of us are dealing with health issues today, Lord, I just release a spirit of healing over your body right now. Maybe your brokenness feels like something in your body that's been a health struggle. Jesus, would you come and meet these people in their brokenness? Set them free. All the while knowing that your grace is sufficient for us. You're what we want, Lord. You're who we desire. Lord, we bless you. We love you and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day to be in your presence. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to carry this saying from 2 Corinthians in our hearts even this week. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Remind us that your power works best in weakness. When we feel weak, when the enemy wants to try to jump on us and say, look at how weak you are. You're pathetic. We can say, you know what? You're right. I am weak. But he is strong. He's inside of me. He loves me. I didn't deserve it, but he forgave me. And his power works best in weakness. So Lord, take our weakness, take our brokenness, take our fragile vessels of clay and shine brightly in them and through them to impact this world around us. We bless and we love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we just close this morning, we just want to just release a blessing over you. Just want to bless you. Want to bless your family. Want to bless your life. Want to bless your work. Want to bless your finances. Want to bless every single thing about you. May God just richly bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, everything as it should be. In the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the one true God, our Lord and Savior. All God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys this week. And ladies, don't forget Thursday night, you have your sweet Christmas party, holiday party. So come to that Thursday. All right. God bless you.